Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord, huh? Hallelujah. Oh, my. What's ahead for the believer? Just awesomeness, right? Just unbelievable. We're so grateful, so thankful. Let's begin this morning by just joining this Gaither Choir. It's a little bit professional, but I still think we can listen to the song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. This morning we're going to be getting into Elijah raising the first one in the Bible from the dead. It's a great story of Elijah's faith. I think this prayer will be meaningful to all of us. But first, let's just praise the Lord here with Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Well, Father, we thank you for hearing our cry. And Lord, may it be a humble cry. May we just surrender to you in this hour of prayer this morning and pray as you would lead us to pray. And as we hear of this prayer in the Bible, Lord, may we glean from it what you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we were also in 1 Kings 17. And at this, we are in the story. We have the prophet Eliah, or Elijah, if you prefer the English translation or alliteration. But Eliah has come on the scene in a very dark period of time in the northern 10 tribes of Israel, where King Ahab is the worst king they've ever had, and his wife Jezebel, who's the daughter of Ethbaal, which is the king of Sidon, is his wife, and that was total Baal worship, and so she brought the Baal worship in. They're at a very low point. And now Elijah comes on the scene, this hairy guy, and he says, you're going to have a drought, you're going to have no rain nor dew for years until you hear from me. And he gets out of there before he gets killed. And God sustains him at the brook Cherith. I think we talked about the last week, and ravens brought him food. And that probably happened until the brook dried up in maybe 6 months or so, we don't know. And then we have, and if you look on your map, you can see it, he is now being called from the Cherith Brook, or the Brook Cherith, which is just pretty much middle east of eastern of Israel in Jordan, to go up about 75 miles to Zarephath, which is near Sidon and Tyre on the coast. That's right in Jezebel's backyard. It's totally Gentile. Nothing Jewish about that at all. So he's leaving Israel, and God tells him to go. There's a widow there who will take care of him. And so he goes. Now everybody's on the lookout for him. Ahab has told all nations to find him, and actually making them an oath. They're telling the truth when they can't find him. But God provides, and so he gets to the city of Zarephath, which means crucible. Crucible is a container where you put ore and stuff in it, and you heat it up to the umpteenth degree to purify it. So crucible is not necessarily where I want to go. I would rather be in, you know, the house of bread or the house of grace or whatever. But he is called to go to crucible. And he will be smelted. Another thing is it means to smelt. So he goes to there, and here he sees the widow. And so he asks her for a drink of water. She says yes. And so she's on her way to get a drink of water. And he calls out, "Would you bring me some bread or a cake also?" And she calls back and she says, "Well, I'm gathering these few sticks I have. I just have a handful of flour and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to use this to use up the last oil and the last flour, and I'm going to give it to my son and I, and then we're going to die." Well, welcome to Zarephath. That sounds like a nice place to go. And the one who's going to take care of me is ready to die, right? And so what does Elijah do? As the Lord is leading him, he says, "Well, you bring me the bread first." Would you have brought in the bread, the last bread you had first? But she does. And he says to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." It's probably going to be another 2.5 years. So she went away and did according to the word of Eliah, and she and her household were fed for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which she spoke by Eliah. Well, I think the Lord is doing some things here for the nation of Israel, judging them because of their sin, but he's also doing a work in Eliah. He's building this up because pretty soon Eliah is going to go to Mount Carmel and have this face-off with all these prophets of Baal. It'll be one against 450 to 800 and 900, depending on whether you want to throw the Baal prophets in there or not, and the others who were at the king's table, so to speak. Eliah's faith is being tested, and the widow's faith is being tested.
Yes.
And how our faith is tested at times. We're seeing the Lord do miracles in our lives every day, right? How many of you got here safely this morning? It's a miracle. Absolutely a supernatural miracle. With some of our driving, it's even more than others, but it's still a miracle, right? And so it would appear that this widow gets a little bit used to the routine of the supernatural, as we'll see in this story. Now, remember here, God could have just said, "Okay, here's 19 barrels of meal, and here's umpteen gallons of oil. This is good enough for you for 2.5 years. Done deal, right?" But no, it's every day, every day, every day. "Give us, O Lord, this day our daily bread," right? And remember, the manna was daily, daily, daily. And so here's the woman, and the son is small enough she could hold in her arms, so it must be a fairly small son. I mean, he's not a 28-year-old. I don't think she'd hold them in her arms. But she's holding the son. And, you know, every day he's probably saying, "Hey, Mom, look, there's some more oil." Well, she said, "Take the oil and the flour out for our food today. And then the same thing tonight." So 2 times a day now for 2.5 years, they've had this supernatural miracle. Isn't that awesome? I mean, we in America don't think much about it. We have so much food, it's hard for us to really put any teeth in to give us this day our daily bread in terms of food, because you look in your pantry and you have enough food in there for who knows how many months. But in much of the world, they're praying for one meal a day, one meal. Could I get food, Lord, for my family for one meal today? And the prayer really means something. Well, here was kind of the same thing. They needed that one meal, two meals a day from the flour and the oil. But now in verse 17, "Now it happened after these things, the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. The sickness was so serious that he died." So now she comes to Eliah. Where's her faith now? "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" Her faith is shaken. And how often our faith is shaken. And there's nothing that really shakes our faith quite like death, I don't think. I think that's one of the strongest, particularly the death of someone very close to us. And here she does something that we tend to do, but it's not godly. She tends to say, God is going to use my sin by punishing my son. God never does that. He's not going to get to you by using somebody else and having them pay any kind of a price or whatever. So we see then, she says, what have you to do, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance? And Eliah says to her, I think in a tender way, give me your son. And he must have developed a relationship with that little guy over 2.5 years, right? Being in their home and watching him grow and watching him see the provision of the Lord. Give me your son. So he took him out of her arms, which tells me that he wasn't that old yet. And it also tells me she hasn't been a widow all that long, right? If her son is fairly young, it means her husband couldn't have died too long ago. And notice back in verse 12, she was willing to give up her son at that point. She says, I'm going to make our last meal and we're going to die, right? We're going to die. So at that point, she was willing to give up her son. But now, a little different story, right? So Elijah says, he carried him up to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord. Beautiful. This is way to pray, right? Crying out to the Lord. Oh, Yahweh, my Elohim. Oh, Lord, my God. Have you also brought tragedy on the widow whom I lodged by killing her son? And he stretched out himself on the child 3 times and cried to the Lord. Oh, Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. So what does that verse tell us? Well, some people will teach, well, he didn't have much faith. He had to pray 3 times. I think he had a tremendous amount of faith. He had never seen there was no reference for him at that point in the Bible. There was no instance of where somebody had been raised from the dead before. And, of course, we will see that praying 3 times later, demonstrated by Jesus in Gethsemane, right? Demonstrated by Paul in praying for the thorn in the flesh. So how many times should we pray? Well, I think we pray until the Lord answers or until we get that release from the Lord saying, I've got it, you prayed it, let me handle it. So he prays. In fact, Jesus said what? Ask, seek, and knock, right? And those are in the present active, which means ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking, right? So this is very scriptural here, what he's doing. 3 times, let this child's soul come back to you. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been involved in any organization who taught their soul sleep, that the soul goes to sleep with the body, but this doesn't fit that very well because we see here the soul has left the body, or you can say consciousness if you would like, and he's praying for this consciousness or this soul to return to the body. So the Bible definitely does not teach such a thing as soul sleep. Oh, Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Eliah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. Eliah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother, and he said, see, your son lives. Notice he doesn't take any credit. He's not saying, look what I have done. Wow, I bet you're impressed with the Lord now. Look what I've done. No, he says, see, your son lives. Now notice the woman's response. Then the woman said to Eliah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. So that really got to her as only a mother's child or a father's child. I mean, that's a heavy duty one. But one of the things that I think we need to remember, we can get very much into a routine of just accepting God's supernatural things in our lives when they recur over and over and not even thank him for that. And sometimes it takes a biggie to all of a sudden shake us and then we say, oh, now my faith is restored. But as we go through life, we will have these afflictions, we will have these difficulties, right? And we want to thank God for those, because without those, we wouldn't change. Without those, our faith wouldn't grow. And so when you're in affliction, or maybe you're in one now, or you, if not, it'll be one this afternoon or tomorrow or whenever, next week. Thank the Lord for it and say, Lord, what do you have for me to learn in this? And recognize that He's preparing you and changing you for what? For eternity, to be more like Christ, to be more like Christ. And if times are good and you have no real problems, you aren't being conformed to the image of Christ probably at all. But when you really get your back to the wall, and you know, oh, Lord, help me, help me. So then life is all about not saying, get me out of trouble or keep me from trouble, but it's how do I handle it and how do I keep my faith in God, who will see me through. He will never give me more than I can handle, and He will see me through to the end, regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of what He gives me. How unshakable is my faith? And so He usually gives us an increasing number of trials. I mean, an increasing intensity in trial, right? Because if He gave us a great big ones right in the beginning, we'd just flunk. We'd just be gone, right? I'm not gone, but I mean out of it. But He builds on those things, and you've got this dossier of your own experiences where He's been so faithful. So, you know, this looks like an impossible one, God, but I'll trust in You on this. That's where it all is, isn't it? Well, let's pray today. We have much to be thankful for. We have much to pray for. The evil is still alive and well. There's still a huge number of the 7 billion people on this earth, I'm sure, that aren't saved yet. And we want to pray for the lost. We want to pray for the church. And we want to pray for this group and every group that meets in the name of the Lord, that we would be effective and available for Him. Father, we thank You for this account of this great faith and of Your supernatural miracles here that You worked through Eliah and touched this little boy's life and this mother's life, and as You will touch all the nation of Israel's life, really. And You are so faithful, and You are so just and so righteous. Lord, help us not to doubt You, no matter what You allow us to go through, and help us to just be moving for that Mount Carmel experience, so to speak, as Eliah is, that we are ready and we are more fit to enter into Your kingdom because of being more Christ-like. We are saved, to be sure, because of what You have done. But Lord, we want to become more like You as long as You have that on our menu here on this earth before You take us home. Lead us now in this time of prayer, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, once again in today's account in 1 Kings 17, we see You using Elijah in the miracles of raising a person from the dead, preparing him for what's ahead. We thank You for the woman being able to say, now I know, now I know, now I know. And Lord, we thank You for each one of Your children, for allowing us to be in the miracle business of salvation, Lord. We can't save anybody, but we can show them and tell them about You, and we can watch on occasion of them being born again, and there's no greater miracle ever than being born again, no matter what. And again, raising them from the spiritual dead to spiritual life, being born again, that they would then be able to say, now I know, now I know. Amen. Lord, may we be able to say without question, now I know, now I know. And be ready for that day when we will enter into glory and see You in all Your splendor, knowing that You want us to be with You, that You want to share Your glory with us, that we would behold the glory which You had before the Father from the foundation of the world. So, Lord, what great and glorious promises You have for each one of us. May we not forget that, Lord, even when the crises strike, even when the news is continually bad and gets worse, even when there's absolutely no hope based on anything we can see, touch, or feel, may we be able to say, now I know that my Savior has saved me and is leading me all the way home, and He will never give me more than I can handle. So, Lord, all of those today who are really down, those who even might be considering taking their own physical life, which doesn't change their soul at all, Lord, I just pray that they would be strengthened by You, and they would see You, and they would be able to say, now I know. And Lord, all of those involved with others who may have taken their life or whatever, I just pray for comfort for them. And there's always that issue of, if I had only done this, if I'd only done that. And yet, Lord, it is all in your hands. And so, Lord, I just pray for comfort. Lord, thank you for meeting us here today. And thank you for guiding us in this time of prayer. And now, Lord, if you would just allow us to break into groups of a couple of people so half of us can pray all the time, so be it. In Jesus' name, amen. So grab a partner and let's pray for another 10, 15 minutes. Father, we do want to just be closer to you. And we thank you for meeting us. We thank you for prayer. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for so many blessings. And Lord, as you provided day by day for the widow, the son, and for Elijah, regardless of the drought, it is not drought or failure to have provision on a large scale to keep you from giving us what we need and want at all times and all conditions. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord, and not on anything else. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.